Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Lucy Hickmott.
It's Tuesday, the 29th of October. Coming up, buses forced to park up away from school.
Obviously, all the kids come out at more or less the same time, so they expect the buses to be there and ready and waiting for them. There's the safety aspect of it.
Chatty bench aiming to bring people together.
Loneliness and social isolation also can be found in young people as well. And we mustn't forget these. And sometimes it could be children at school.
And Ashford servicemen selected for Invictus Games.
There will be medals there, but it's not all about the medals. It's about being part of a group of like-minded individuals who have been affected by injury.
Kent Online News.
First today, roads bosses have confirmed Operation Brock, which is in force for a second day on the M20, will be stood down as soon as possible. The contraflow between junctions 8 and 9 for Maidstone and Ashford is designed to reduce congestion if cross-channel traffic is delayed after Brexit. The system will no longer be needed this week after another extension was agreed yesterday. Officials in Vietnam say they're trying to speed up the identification of 39 bodies found in the back of a lorry near the Dartford crossing. They're working with police in the UK, who last night released a video on Facebook urging Vietnamese people in Britain to come forward with any information.
I promise you, you will be not arrested, and we will not be sharing your information with anybody else. So please come forward and let us help you.
A man's in custody charged over their deaths after the discovery in Essex last Wednesday. An Edenbridge woman who stole the car of a Good Samaritan who stopped to help her has avoided being sent straight to prison. The victim was flagged down by Hannah Smythe on a country road in April last year before being forced out of the vehicle by her then boyfriend who'd been hiding. The 32-year-old from Bowbeach Road was given a 2-year suspended sentence. There are concerns a school's decision to stop buses from dropping off pupils at the site will cause huge traffic disruption in Sittingbourne. The head of Westlands Secondary says it wouldn't be safe as there's now not enough room because they've had to convert part of the school to accommodate more students. Buses are now having to park on the A2 London Road at 4 new stops instead. But Roland Eglinton from Chalkwell Coach Hire says it's not ideal.
The problem is that the infrastructure outside of the school on the surrounding roads isn't really equipped for the number of large vehicles that are going to descend all at the same time. So it's going to be a case of seeing how it goes, and we expect there to be some difficulties, but really we can't help it, I'm afraid. We've had some discussions with Kent County Council about alternative solutions, and unfortunately we've looked at it from all angles and there isn't really anything that lends itself very well to this situation in the vicinity of the school. I'm afraid we're left with a best fit solution that isn't ideal on a number of fronts. Obviously, all the kids come out at more or less the same time, so they expect the buses to be there and ready and waiting for them. We expect some of the issues to be, the children sort of milling around. There's the safety aspect of it, with waiting alongside busy roads, and then there's the physical difficulties of having large vehicles on the local roads that aren't necessarily equipped for them. We're potentially blocking people's driveways and adding to the traffic congestion in the area. We understand where the school are coming from, but what we're left with is something that isn't really workable, and we're left in a situation where we do have very limited options. From our point of view, we'll do what we can to ensure their safety. Once they're off the bus, there's not an awful lot we can do, but we urge the children to use the crossing points on the A2 and use them appropriately. That will at least take care of some of the difficulties.
Councillor Mike Baldock from Swale Borough Council also has concerns about the new arrangements.
Schools should be working in harmony with their local residents. Since the schools have been taken out of local authority control, that respect and that integration and accountability to local people has just gone out the window. I think that's a very negative thing. I think what we're looking at is one of the consequences again of far too many houses in the area without the infrastructure. So we've had small primary schools being forced to expand beyond what they can naturally take. Now we're seeing it with a secondary school. I don't think that's positive. I don't think that's something to cheer about. It's something that should have been foreseen, and KCC should really have been looking at getting a secondary school in Sittingbourne, at this end of Sittingbourne.
Just been to one of the roads in which we can see a couple of bus stops there, makeshift ones outside someone's house.
Yeah.
For your constituents, that's got to be a pain, hasn't it?
Well, it means that for part of the day they won't be able to get in and off of their drive. It's a busy road, so it's going to narrow down the useful part of the road right onto the A2. If there's two buses there, you're going to be effectively down a single traffic. So then you're going to get people stopping, starting, waiting to get through. That's not going to improve air quality. So on no sensible scale does this tick any of the boxes. In the past, the buses would drop off and collect in the school. Then the school expands, can't do that anymore. Well, let them get on with it. That seems to be the school's attitude. You know, if we're doing what we're doing within our gates, what happens outside it is out of our concern, and I don't think that's responsible. On Swale, we think it's absolutely important to try and take residents with you when you make a decision. You consult, you listen, and then you make a decision based on that. What has happened here is residents were just given a fait accompli, very short notice, no consultation with the borough council or the ward members, just this is happening, that's it. And that is not a way to run a democracy.
Kent Online reports.
A woman in her 40s has been injured in a hit and run in Folkestone. She was knocked down by a red Mercedes near the East Kent Arms on Sandgate Road late on Sunday night. The driver left before police arrived, and officers are keen to speak to a number of people who were in the area at the time. The roof of a former gun shop in Ashford has collapsed following a huge fire. At kentonline.co.uk, you can see pictures and videos of the blaze, which broke out at the old Kent wool growers site on Tannery Lane yesterday afternoon. 6 fire engines and a Hite vehicle were needed to tackle the flames. Police are investigating after racist graffiti and a swastika was spray painted onto the side of a railway bridge in Herne Bay. It was spotted along the pedestrian crossing at Blacksole Bridge in Beltinge on Sunday. A bench designed to encourage people to sit down and have a chat has started a tour of Medway to tackle loneliness. The chatty bench has been set up by the Men in Sheds project, aiming to reduce social isolation and bring people together. It's starting off at libraries before making its way to sports centres and other public places in the towns. Medway councillor David Brake told us more about how it'll work.
Well, obviously this is going to start off with things like, hello, how are you? The last thing we're going to do, in fact, is to go charge it in and say, please state your name, address, date of birth and everything else. That's not what it's about. It's about engaging with people. And if it means that we have to say, hello, how are you? What do you think of the weather today? Do you come into the library often? Have you tried using any of our sports centres? All those sorts of questions, really, to engage with people. Recognising that some of these people might not necessarily want to reach out and talk to us, so we're going to them. If we look at it, the fact is that we are growing older and we are living a lot longer than perhaps our the older generation. We are living longer, which is a good thing. And equally, there are people who are taking early retirement. Of course, they take early retirement and think, oh, this is great, I'm going to have all this time on my hands, and then realise that, well, what do I do? What do I get involved in? But of course, loneliness and social isolation also can be found in young people as well, and we mustn't forget these. And sometimes it could be children at school that are quite lonely. At the end of the school day, they go home and what do they do? Perhaps they haven't got any friends that live close by. Maybe they're not associated with the scouts or the guides or the cadets. They don't go to a youth group or any of that nature. They don't play football or any of the other sports. And these are very lonely young people that need help and support. I represent the Waterslade Ward, and included in Waterslade, we have Waterslade Village. And I quite often see young people who are sitting on the benches that we've provided in the village. If you like, a little bit of the forerunner of the chatty bench that we're embarking on. And to me, to see the youngsters just sitting there talking gladdens my heart, because it means that they are getting together. Some adults feel that intimidated by the fact that there may be half a dozen, up to 10 youngsters all sat round talking, laughing and joking. But quite honestly, I wouldn't like to see it any other way. That shows to me that these youngsters are not isolated, and I'd like to encourage them to include others to join them.
Sam Doust has been telling us why he started using the bench.
Straight away, I think it's a great idea, because it catches the eye straight away, and it caught my eye straight away. And if anyone is struggling with this kind of thing, which, you know, I have in the past, I think if you've got no one or you can't open up to the people that are close to you, it's a very good chance to speak to someone and give them your thoughts and what might be shutting you off, or, you know, or just if you struggle just talking in general, you know, in any situation, it's good to possibly see how they can help you. And and yeah, admire the view, especially that we can see at the moment. And it helps, because yeah, you don't necessarily have to look at each other directly in the eye. You can sort of clear your thoughts out of the view whilst talking. It makes it easier, I guess.
How do you think talking to others really helps with loneliness?
Well, it's taken away the problem right there itself, isn't it? It's like, because you keep everything trapped inside, and if you're not talking to people, then you're not going to get it off your chest, and it becomes dangerous, it becomes worrying. Again, speaking from experience myself, I'm currently going through a breakup after about 3 years. It's about 5 days ago, and loneliness for me is a very hard thing to overcome. It's easy when I'm talking to people and it feels good, but then when I'm back by myself, you know, it feels bad again. So talking to people as much as you can is so important, because if I'd been lonely for all this time since the last 5 days, you know, I could have found myself in any situation by now.
How would you encourage other people maybe to decrease the amount of social isolation in the community?
To try the best to raise awareness, help out as much as you can, and you know, support the charities and that might be close to that way of thinking. And yeah, just go around literally seeking, trying to draw people to, just like this is now, it's drawing people in. Not necessarily everybody, but even if you know, you can help one person, that one person can help another one person, and that can go on for a while, and however it saves a lot of it could save a lot of people and help a lot of people, I guess.
William Ronan, who's a projects officer at Public Health, is hoping the chatty bench will have a big impact.
The bench is to raise awareness of simply stopping for 1 minute, having a brief conversation can make people feel more connected. If we make people feel more connected, then we can reduce social isolation and loneliness. And from a public health perspective, it's important. Loneliness is as bad as smoking, obesity and a lack of exercise. And we can all do something about it. Have a conversation in our families, in our neighbourhoods, in our workplaces. Hopefully, Public Health Medway is committed to reducing loneliness, social isolation, one conversation at a time.
And how do you think that the day-to-day person can help reduce social isolation in their communities?
Well, less time on social media. And if you use social media, make sure you connect with people. Who is it you haven't kept in contact for a while? Drop them an email or drop them a text and say hi. Thinking of you, sons, daughters, husbands, friends, just stay in contact. If you check your bank balance every week, check your social connection balance as frequently, make sure you're not becoming isolated, make sure you're not becoming distant, and that you don't feel lonely. But we can all do it, one conversation at a time.
What do you think are the biggest factors affecting social isolation for certain people? You know, what do you think causes it?
People feel stigma. There's a lot of stigma. People don't want to acknowledge that they're lonely. It's a fact that if you feel lonely, then you are lonely. We can try and resolve some of that.
Kent Online News.
Companies that operate at Chatham Docks in Medway have come together to try and protect its future. It's claimed 800 jobs are at risk because of the council's plans to turn the commercial port and manufacturing hub into part of the Chatham Waters development, which is currently made up of 200 luxury apartments. Businesses have started a campaign to try and make sure that doesn't happen. A Kent school's written to parents warning them of the dangers of the new video game Fortnite Chapter 2. Barton Court Grammar in Canterbury say they've sent out emails to try and stop pupils getting addicted to it. And a taxi driver has delighted his passengers after singing them a bit of Tom Jones. Ella Martinetti and her partner got into his cab in Ickham near Canterbury last night, and after learning it was her 26th birthday, Brian decided to give her a rendition of I'll Never Fall in Love Again. No, I'm never gonna fall in love. Please don't make me fall in love. Woo! Again. She says it was a lovely surprise which made their night. You can watch the full video at kentonline.co.uk.
Kent Online Sport.
An Ashford serviceman has been named in the Team UK squad to compete at the next Invictus Games. Major Andy Kerr, who's been in the army for 35 years, is one of 65 wounded, injured or sick military personnel and veterans who will represent the country next year. They'll compete in 9 different sports. And he's been telling us about his story.
The MOD send a document round that invites people to apply, those with a medical downgraded status, and therefore they're on the wounded, injured and sick list. And I was one of those. I injured my neck in 2013 playing rugby in the World Masters Games, and I did never really recovered. I damaged quite a few discs in my neck, which were then pushing the disc into my spinal cord, causing some nerve damage. So I've had several operations, and I thought, well, let's have a go. I can't play rugby anymore. I was removed myself from coaching, so I was starting to go within myself, and I thought I'd try this to see if I, you know, it gave me the opportunity to meet people with the same thing that's happening to them, and see if I could improve my state of mind and build my relationship with my daughter, because that's the main thing. Because when I was playing sports and I was coaching, I was doing it with my daughter as well, and she'd come and watch. And when I wasn't doing it, that I lost that link. She was my biggest fan, and you know, this is bringing it back. My daughter is so happy that I'm doing this. She couldn't wait to tell everyone that she was so proud.
I imagine your injury at the time, 2013, how did that affect your time serving?
The funny thing was, I was in Jordan in the desert, and they had the results of my MRI scan, and I got a phone call saying I wasn't allowed to bounce around the desert anymore and I had to fly back. So you can imagine that did have a quite profound effect on it. But I still do PT. I still go on PT with the guys. I have a squadron that I command, so I still have to maintain a standard, but I'm restricted in what I can do.
I read that, you know, 89% of the team is new next year. How does it feel to be a part of a group of that nature?
I think it's fantastic. I mean, there's a lot of stories here that are being told today, and they're all new stories. Like you say, 89% are new stories that Help for Heroes, British Legion and the MOD are taking forward with this Invictus team. And you know, you sit down with them, and you know, I'm serving. There's guys there, guys and girls that are not serving, who are, you know, you sit down with them and you talk to them, and the first time they've spoken to someone in 2 years was when they started doing this process. So, you know, it's not only helping me, it's helping them talking to me. I think it's amazing. There will be medals there, but you know, it's not all about the medals. It's about being part of a group of like-minded individuals who have been affected by injury, sickness or any other health issues, and taking that forward. You could stepping up onto the line and firing a bow down a range. For some of the people here, you know, it's the first time they've done it, and they can't use their left arm properly, they can't draw properly, so they're drawing it with their mouths. It's how they do it, how they approach the games, as opposed to, well, there's a gold medal there, and you know, I've had my gold medals. You know, I won a gold in the World Masters Games. I'm not on it for the medals. I'm on it for the recovery journey that I need to make me a better person and everyone around me, except where I am.
That's it for now. But don't forget, you can go to kentonline.co.uk for more news throughout the day.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.